Thriving, Not Surviving, with your host, Gina Gardner. To lead others, you first need to be the best version of yourself and lead from a place of wholeness. Motivation, empowerment, leadership, personal and spiritual development are just a few of the topics you will hear on Thriving, Not Surviving. So sit back and enjoy the show with your host, Gina Gardner.
Everyone, it's Gina Gardner here of Genuinely You, and I'm very, very thrilled today to have our guest. This is Davida Ginter, and I'm going to read you her bio because it's very impressive and I don't want to miss anything out. Davida Ginter is the founder of the Be the Change Sustainability Centre and the co-founder and CEO of Enkindle Global, an organisation that supports changemakers and organisations about preventing burnout and cultivating well-being. She's the author of Burning Out Won't Get You There, Cultivating Well-being to Successfully Lead Social Change, which was published in September 2019. Davida is a participatory leadership facilitator and non-violent communication trainer and operates on a global scale through organisational processes, facilitation, workshops, training and talks. Now, Davida and I met before Christmas and we had a conversation, and I was really struck by how important her work is. You know, the number of people who are suffering from burnout in the UK alone is just a monumental number, and we need to do something. So welcome to Genuinely You, and thank you very much for giving up your time.
So thank you for having me.
My pleasure. So I'd like to start by asking you, so what led you to be involved in dealing with burnout?
Yeah, it was a very regular conversation with a colleague of mine. We are working in the field of leadership for sustainability for a few years now. And while working for those years with leaders, change makers, sustainability practitioners, entrepreneurs, we have noticed, my colleague and me, many of our friends within this field of work are going through something which can be stated as stress, but it's obviously beyond that. And we had this conversation and we concluded with, you don't have to suffer in order to reduce world suffering. And I thought, okay, that's a nice title for an article. I just don't write an article about it. I didn't even had the word burnout back then. But the more I explored into this topic and the more stories I started to, you know, receive from people who were willing to share their experience with me of burnout, the more big it is, how common this phenomena of burnout worldwide, I would say. And so people who work towards sustainability forget to sustain themselves. People who care about everything and everyone else forget this bit of self-care. And I was very curious to explore that. I wrote this book that you mentioned, and we have founded Enkindle Global, which is an organization that is working hands-on with burnout prevention, because I didn't want to keep the knowledge as theory. I want to make it as practical as possible for people.
I think it's really important. Interestingly, that you talked about, you know, people within the sustaining the world, but actually it's just as true for people in any industry, isn't it?
It is. I started from this point, from this change-making sphere, if you call it like that. But obviously, burnout is wider than that. It's cross-sectoral, cross-cultural. I've interviewed people in all over the world because I was curious to know if it's any difference from Israel to UK, the US and Japan. It's not. I mean, perhaps the causes are different from one place to another, one sector, one industry to another. But burnout is wide, it's evident, and the symptoms, by the way, are very much alike. So if we see someone exhausted, not just physically tired, but emotionally and physically exhausted, we see it everywhere. Leaders, change makers, entrepreneurs, startup people, people in the tech industry, educators, everywhere. So yeah, absolutely.
So if I'm really interested in terms of, you know, our listeners who may be experiencing burnout or on their way to burnout, you talk about self-care. What for you would be the advice around self-care that would help prevent burnout?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting question that I get a lot. I get it in every conversation I have with someone about burnout. And everyone wants a solution, right? So what's your solution to burnout? How do you prevent it? And I always say, I don't have one solution. First, because there's no one single solution. Obviously, there's a variety of practices, approaches, solutions, exercises, habits, routines that anyone can employ. But also, I'm careful with that because it's very different. It's very personal from one person to another. In fact, when people, let's say, when people blindly follow others' advice when it doesn't serve them, it could be even more harmful. So let's say, let's have a look around in society. It seems like everyone is meditating today, right? So one could feel the pressure, oh, I have to meditate to take care of myself. But what if it doesn't serve you well? What if you don't want to meditate and you want to choose another practice? So I'd say instead of feel the pressure of doing like everyone else seem to be doing, find your own practice. So if I do need to share an advice, it would be do your self-exploration, your self-inquiry, what works for you? Where is your happy place of well-being? How can you balance your life? It's not even about work-life balance. Sometimes we can't separate, especially when we are so invested in what we do, we are passionate about what we do. So the balance would be to realize for yourself, what are you lacking? If you are working all day long in some sort of isolation, maybe you need to socialize in the evenings after work to balance it, or the other way around. Maybe you need some peace and quiet or be in the outdoors. So that's definitely about the exploration. And my second advice would be consistency. Some people try a new practice, something new, it suits them. But then they stop, they quit after a week or two because it gets too busy with life. You know, we are all busy people. But if it's not consistent, if you don't integrate that into your routine, you cannot pave, you know, you cannot make it an habitual practice. So well-being is obviously about being consistent with your practices.
I think that's really sound advice. In my experience, people are very good at the grand gesture. You know, they'll start something up and they'll go at it like a bull at a gate, and then they're not able to sustain that. So instead of modifying it, they just stop. And that didn't work for me. And rather than the actual practice didn't work, it's the way it was approached.
I agree. And it's also very frustrating when it doesn't work, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes.
It takes a step back. You feel so hopeless. But if you start with even something small, what can I do tomorrow morning to take care of myself, right? Maybe I need more breaks. Maybe I need to meet with friends. Maybe I need some mindfulness. Maybe, I don't know, whatever works for you. As long as it's simple and consistent.
Yes. I mean, I would say, you know, from working with people who are approaching or in burnout, that many of them will be so busy on the treadmill that they can't see it for themselves. You know, if you're the partner or the friend of somebody who is approaching or in burnout, you know, do you have any words for them in terms of what to look for and how they might approach that?
I love that question. I love it because although it's around self-care and everyone's responsibility, it's also a social responsibility, you know, looking from the system perspective. But we can look at organizations, but also systems could be smaller, families, your team, your colleagues, your friends, your mentor. So if you are noticing one of your friends or coworkers going through this phase of, you know, being beyond stressed, being overwhelmed, being anxious, approaching burnout, maybe he gets really cynical, negative towards their work, or like we said before, exhausted, which are signs that you're approaching burnout, then don't wait for them to ask for help, because not everyone can do that. Take the initiative and you reach out to them and offer your, basically, your listening skills. So I would say most people just need to be heard. When we offer empathy and listening, we hold that space for other people to share their struggles, their setbacks. You know, for many people, they think, they're not wrong, but they think that burnout is all about the workload. But that's actually not the main cause. Oftentimes, it's because we feel unheard, unrespected, disengaged, and we are also afraid to admit our mistakes and failures. But when we open up the conversation, either when we reach out for help or as a friend, we reach out to others to allow them to share what they're going through, then we are able to prevent burnout or to approach it in a deeper way than just, you know, just give them a voucher to a yoga session, which is just, you know, scratching the surface.
Yes. I think that's so important, isn't it? When this, in this busy life that we all lead, how many people feel that they are not seen, not heard, that they have no value. And whilst a lot of that is an internal thing, I think, you know, if you look at social media, for example, there appears to be a lot of communication, but it's very surface. It's not actually meaningful. It's being done in a way which is mechanical, and there's no actual connection with that person. You're not looking into their eyes, to their soul, and saying, I can see you're hurting. Can I help? And I think we need to replace that gap with really taking time to care and be compassionate.
Absolutely. This is such a valid point. First, because social media, although it could create meaningful connections, at first, like you said, it's quite superficial at the entry level. And there's the problem also of comparison. You know, when we look at our feed of social media, looks like everyone is so successful. Oh, yeah. What about me? I'm not keeping up.
Yes.
Which is, of course, not really reflecting reality. But also when you talk about connection, this is such an important bit, because a way to protect yourself from burning out would be to cultivate deep connections. Then you don't feel alone. Then you feel supported. You feel held. So you can go through many challenges. You know, life is about challenges, sometimes conflicts. That's part of it. But if you have this net of supports, then you're more equipped to face those challenges.
I'm really interested to explore with you your work and whether you work with individuals, teams, whole organizations. I mean, how is it that you operate in terms of helping people in general around burnout within your work?
Yeah. So we have started with individuals. At the very beginning, we started working with individuals. You know, we group people, we hold workshops, seminars, after working events, and people come and share their stories. And then we hold some practices together where we tap into the collective wisdom in the room. So people can start come with their own suggestions and solutions, encouraged by the group support. But after a while that we have worked with individuals, we realize that we are doing something a bit wrong because we have neglected the system perspective that I referred to just a minute ago. Because people came to us and said wisely, you know, it's all great. So we go home encouraged and we can start a new habit tomorrow and we can even be consistent with it. But then we go to work and in the organization, they don't treat us like human. They treat us like we need to produce something. You know, we are being measured by numbers and our outcomes. So we agreed that as an organization, we felt there's a gap there. And we decided to also start working with the organization, with organizations in that sense. So what we are doing now, we have started that. It's an exciting journey. We have started working with organizations that are committed to integrate well-being into their organizational culture, which is, again, not about the wellness industry. Let's gift our employees with, you know, expensive gifts and send them to the gym. This is nice. That's okay. I'm not dismissing that. But that's not the deep work. If you have a trust issue or broken communication in your organization, no yoga class or massage chair will do the trick. So when we work with organizations, we basically facilitate a process where we identify the root problems, how we can engage everyone in deeper conversations. And then we start together with them, meeting those needs.
That sounds great. And I absolutely agree with you that if you don't get at the systemic problem, and for me, my approach is get to the leaders. If you can change the way the leaders operate, if they can learn to lead with integrity, compassion, and the courage to do what's right, not necessarily what's easy or expedient, then that percolates through the whole organization. And it takes somebody with a real strong sense of commitment to this. It's, you know, it's not an easy thing to do, which is why
I agree. Yeah, it takes an open mind to do that, right? An open mind and an open heart. Just last week, I can share an example. Just last week, we worked with this organization, which by themselves work with technology for well-being. So that was an interesting mission. And they were interested to hold this burnout prevention workshop for their team, for the employees. And at the beginning, the CEO told me, yes, you can come, you can, you know, give us a workshop, but just know we're in a very good position. We're in a good state. We hold our well-being and said, great, let's see what you're up to. At the end of the day, it was a full-day workshop. When she observed all this and engaged herself in all those deep conversations with her team about well-being, at the end of the day, she turned to them, to the team, and asked them, please come to me, I have an open door now, and suggest me how can we improve our organization well-being, and I welcome your honest suggestions of what can we do better. So I felt that her leadership there really went into action by being vulnerable and saying, we have room to improve. I invite you to tell me what do you feel, what do you need while working here. So I really appreciated that.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's when the ego gets out of the way.
Right.
It's not about, I have to be seen to be right. I have to be seen to have all the answers. And that you can be open and, you know, work in a collaborative way that you see the real magic happen. So I'm interested to be there. What has been your greatest life lesson? What are the things that have made you who you are today?
Just one?
No. The floor is yours.
Yeah, no, of course. It's been such a journey in recent years. And probably one of the biggest, and it influenced my work in so many levels, is that a few years ago, I was a journalist before I shifted my profession to be a sustainability practitioner. And I thought, I'm going to learn and work how to mobilize social change, like out there. Mm-hmm. And the more work I did there and the more I learned, I realized I'm changing within, personally. And I thought, what is that? I want to study sustainability, but I gained so much about the personal sustainability and the personal development, which is a buzzword. But when we dig into that, there's something very profound in how you start to explore yourself, truly understand. So I guess one of the biggest lessons would be this combination between the personal journey and the professional mastery, and how do you work with that together? And whenever I work with people in this field of change making and doing better for society and the environment, we always integrate this personal part because we can't leave it outside. It's such an integral and important part of this work.
We're the common denominator, aren't we? We take ourselves into every situation from the moment we're conceived until we die, and who knows, maybe beyond. It's so important that we see ourselves as whole people. We're merely assets, aren't we? And it's the principle of the Enlightened Leadership Program. You've got to start with you, haven't you? So I'm really heartened that, you know, it reinforces that where we're coming from, both of us, is around helping people step into their genuine power to be their best selves, and then to support other people to do the same. And it's really exciting.
Absolutely, yeah.
Tell me about your book.
Yeah, so the book is a combination of the conversations I held with people, change makers, leaders, entrepreneurs, activists, educators from all over the world. Some of them shared with me their burnout experience, what they have been through, what was their biggest lesson. And others I interviewed as experts in their fields. It could be mindfulness people, but also mentors, again, leaders, people who shared really profound advice on how can we manage that in a better way? How can we navigate through this complexity? So the book is basically the collection of everything. Yeah, what causes burnout, but mainly what can we practically do? Because I said before, there's no one single solution, right? But I wanted to offer that widely to everyone so everyone could pick a thing or two that speak to them. It could be even an approach to life. We talked there about courage and authenticity and how do we talk about our failures instead of bottling them, you know, inside. And that's the book. It's this assembling of all these ideas and advice and stories together.
And where will people find your book?
It's on sale on Amazon. It's called Burning Out Won't Get You There.
Sounds really interesting and a fascinating mixture of, you know, people's personal experiences of burnout and then getting a range of experts, because everybody comes with their view of how to do it. But I think it's important to our watchers and listeners to say your first piece of advice, which is to explore what works for you, is just so important, because lots of experts will say, you know, this is the way, and it's not, it's a way. So I think that's a really important thing to say.
If you're a businesswoman who is overwhelmed or suffering from imposter syndrome, who is tired of having one disastrous relationship after another, or who finds it hard just to say no, well, it's time to take care of you. You get the best out of life by contacting Gina Gardner, relationship coach and best-selling author and motivational speaker. Just visit genuinely-you.com, or you can email Gina directly at gina at genuinely-you.com. Take action now. Start to thrive rather than simply survive.
I'd like to talk about what you offer. I mean, you work on a global stage. What you offer, and you know, how can people get hold of you?
Thank you. So the easiest way to get to us is either through the InKindle Global website, inkindleglobal.com, or my personal website, davidaginter.com, or just reach me out on LinkedIn. And what we offer is the processes that I mentioned before. We never come with fixed solutions. We never come as consultants. We don't come and give recipes and formulas. It starts from conversations with the leadership team, and we go from there. We build this process where we collaborating and co-creating this process together.
And is that done face-to-face, or is it done over the internet or a mixture?
It is done face-to-face. We believe in in-person engagement. Some bits are done online, but most of it is definitely in person, in the room itself, in the space.
And who would be the sort of people that would come to you? If they're listening so they can recognize themselves, who would they be?
Organizational leaders or individual change makers who care. Who care about us as humans, themselves, and are committed to do the hard work. Like I said, there are no quick solutions. We will roll up the sleeves and work. It is about commitment, strong commitment, both to our mission out there, obviously, but also to ourselves as leaders, to take care of ourselves so we could better do our work out there.
That's great. Now, we've had a conversation, but I'm just very concerned that we don't miss anything that you think our listeners need to hear. So are there any things that we haven't spoken about that you think are really important to get out there? Because this is an opportunity for not just for you, but for the people who are watching this to really have an understanding.
Thank you for the question. I think, you know, we can obviously talk about this topic for hours.
We can indeed.
If I need to put one more idea there on the table, would be to try and not avoid, but suspend judgment of all kinds. We're not here to judge others, right? We're in this together, but we are also not here to judge ourselves. So if everyone could give a bit more space for even themselves to be in this situation and suspend the judgment, that's already a great start of self-care and personal well-being.
I think that's a brilliant piece of advice. As we bring this to a close, can you just remind people how they can get hold of you?
Absolutely. So you can reach us to our organization in kindleglobal.com or directly to me, davidaginter.com. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm here to support. Reach out. You're welcome.
Thank you so much. It's been really interesting. I really appreciate your time and the insights that you give the people who are watching this. So thanks very much indeed. I look forward to our association continuing and finding out what you've been up to. So thank you very much indeed. Thank you.
I appreciate it.
So everyone, you've heard it today. Look after yourself, listen and care for others. And I look forward to seeing you in the Genuinely You Facebook group, or come and join me through LinkedIn and online. Take care, and I'll speak to you soon.
If you're a businesswoman who is overwhelmed or suffering from imposter syndrome, who is tired of having one disastrous relationship after another, or who finds it hard just to say no. Well, it's time to take care of you. You get the best out of life by contacting Gina Gardner, relationship coach and best-selling author and motivational speaker. Just visit genuinely-you.com, or you can email Gina directly at gina@genuinely-you.com. Take action now. Start to thrive rather than simply survive. Imagine being a highly successful, enlightened leader who is in complete alignment with your best self, who makes a positive difference on a daily basis. Let me introduce Gina Gardner, an expert in developing transformational leadership with over 30 years of experience. Gina has developed a unique and unrivaled approach to help you step into your genuine power to become an enlightened leader. And when you do, amazing things happen. Go to enlightenedleadership.co or email Gina at gina@genuinely-you.com.
Hello there, and welcome back to the second part of our show. Today we're going to talk about personal power. Mm. And before we start, I want to define what I mean by personal power. I believe that we all have an amazing capacity to step into our personal power.
Yeah.
And our personal power is nothing about diminishing someone else.
No.
It is about having a great relationship with yourself, one that's loving but not indulgent.
Mm-hmm.
It's about taking care of yourself and recognizing that when you are in your power, that you are enough, that you're not broken. That doesn't mean, of course, that there aren't things that you can work on to improve in order to be your best self.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're in your personal power, it does nothing to diminish other people.
Mm.
In fact, quite the opposite. I believe that when you are in your personal power, you're able to recognize the potential in others because you are confident in your own, and that you are then in a much better place to nurture and support other people in the development of their own power.
Mm.
And that shining that light, being a beacon, is something that then becomes much more natural.
Mm.
When you're not in your power, I think it's very easy to assume other people have a negative emotive. I think it's so easy to be a victim rather than a hero. Mm. Ultimately, we are the common denominator. We've said this before. You take yourself into every situation from the moment you're born until the moment you die.
Yeah.
So being in your power,
mm-hmm,
makes sense. Being your best, the best version of you, the best self,
mm-hmm,
I think is really important.
Mm.
Now, what I forgot to do is to introduce you for those who are new to the show. This is Rachel Davidson, and she's joined me, as she does every show, for us to have a genuine chat. Now, we're sharing with you our view, our belief.
Mm-hmm.
We're not forcing them on you. They're an opportunity to make you think.
Mm-hmm.
And when we think mindfully,
mm-hmm,
we are in a powerful place.
Yes.
When we allow our habitual way of being, and 95% of what we think, say, and do is habitual, we have given away our power.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are not actively choosing how we're going to respond. That triggered habitual response is one that we have no power over.
Mm-hmm.
And it puts us, I think, very firmly in the place of victim.
Mm.
So what's your view of personal power?
I often sort of
come up against this issue when I'm thinking about my children and how I wish them to be, you know, independent, successful,
yeah,
good members of society in the sense of being within their own personal power and being, yeah, of value to themselves and to the good of society at large. And one of the key things I think as a parent I can do that is to not do as much for them as perhaps they'd like. So
learned helplessness, I think, is something that starts pretty young, doesn't,
yeah,
it?
So part of the transition of growing up is, and I don't just mean as in getting chronologically older and acquiring certain skills, but really growing up and growing into your power is actually to take on that acceptance of I'm the one who's responsible. I'm the one who's responsible for me. So my daughter is always a great example, really, to quote. She is giving away a lot of her power to a particular friend. You know, it's not a dangerous situation. It's just the friend has got a new boyfriend and is entirely taken up with that. And my daughter is forced into that slightly victim mode of having to sit around and wait for her friend to have time for her. And in the conversations of, you know, expressing the hurt and the upset around this, it's a very common situation for mid-teenagers, isn't it? She often talks and starts from the point of the friend's decision, the friend's, yeah, my friend will do this, my friend will do that. And I say to her all the time, Esme, you keep talking about another person and how they have control over what you're going to do. And I keep asking you what you're going to do. And you keep answering me by telling me what that person's going, yeah, to do. And you're starting from the wrong place.
Absolutely.
It's all valid. Yes, 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 that person might make that choice. Yes, that too. But it doesn't actually help you. And I try to say to her, that's just one example of how learning to keep hold of one's power is actually a lifelong job.
I think that's true.
And actually, it's quite difficult at the moment to spot when you're leaking power to somebody else. And you have to have it sort of, you know, ingrained. A good example was of me yesterday. You know, I talk about personal power all the time, and I like to think that I'm mostly within it. But there was this incident yesterday where I complied with something that somebody wanted me to do, even though it was daft. And actually, I had this solution in my handbag to do something different that would have protected me more. And yet, I didn't step into my personal power at that point, and I wasn't awake. I just slept, walked, and did what they wanted because it was easier.
And we're trained to do it, aren't we?
Yeah, and do you know what? It wasn't even a conscious. I wasn't even in my head thinking, oh, just do it. It's easier. It's easier. We're trained. We're trained to be compliant and to follow on, to be nice, to be polite, and so on and so forth. So I think stepping into your personal power is something that you have to constantly monitor. Was there another way I could have done that? Should I have been a bit more awake in that moment? Do I allow that to happen in this time? Because, well, choose your battles to win the war and all this sort of point of view. It's not an easy thing, but the more and more that you live that definition of, if I'm capable of doing it myself, then I should do it myself. And nobody can make me do anything that I fundamentally don't want to, although there might be consequences to my choosing not to comply. But nobody can actually make you do it.
Now, that's really interesting because you're talking about actions.
Yes.
I absolutely agree.
Yes.
But I also think it's true of emotions.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, there's a lot of people that will talk about, oh, she made me angry.
All the time. He would make it so frustrating.
Yeah, nobody can make you angry.
Not unless you give them permission.
You can choose to become angry.
Yeah.
As a reaction.
How and when you become angry. And we're not saying that anger is bad, but I am saying to you that if you're somebody who consistently gives other people the power over your emotions,
yes, then you don't hear people say, he made me love him. They only use it when it's a negative sort of, well, you know, it was a negative reaction on my part. Anger is, generally speaking, considered negative reactions. He made me do it. But on the positive emotion side of things, you don't have somebody say, oh, he made me love him.
Well, there have been times when I keep had people say that. I really? Have to say, yeah. When I've been questioning, you know, you are handing over that power. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, you have to put up with that what the other person gives you. Mm. Ultimately, it's your choice, isn't it? You can choose not to be happy about the situation. Mm. And if you're unhappy about the situation, then take action about it. But ultimately, it's your choice whether you're happy or not. It's your choice whether you focus on what you can do or what you can't. You focus on the negatives in your life or the positives in your life. Mm. But when you choose, actively choose your response to things, your way of being, you are absolutely in your power. Mm. You're in the moment. You're not worrying about what went on in the past, nor are you anxious about the future. You are living in that moment and you are choosing actively to make that decision, the one that's the best that you have available to you.
Is that is it a parable or a meme or whatever? But there's the bird was not frightened about sitting on the stick and worrying about it breaking because the bird is confident in its ability to fly.
Yeah,
and I think a lot of people focus on the stick and worry about when it'll break and whatever, forgetting that they have many, many resources, internal resources that will, you know, save them should the branch break.
Do you know what I find really interesting? I work with lots of different people, okay, and there's a common pattern where highly successful people, and I have to say probably more women this is true of than men, but that may just be my experience in terms of the clients I see, although I do see a lot of men, who at work, highly organised, decisive, assertive, you know what they're doing, step into their power.
Yeah.
And then they walk across the threshold to home, they don't organise themselves, they become meek, they put up with stuff that you know, from their children or from their partner or from their parents or from friends that they would never dream of doing in the work situation.
Yeah.
And it can also happen the other way around too.
Yeah.
And I say to them, you know, let me give you an example, strategically planning. You know, I was talking to somebody who was a CEO of a big company. I mean, her company's successful and is successful because she's a great strategic planner.
Cool.
However, in her personal life, she forgets that that's a really, really strong skill and becomes a victim to circumstance.
Right.
Hasn't planned, is just sort of pulled along like, you know, flotsam in the water.
Right.
But when I said to her, I'm finding this really interesting. Is this the same person who runs a company, employs large numbers of people, who deals with, you know, difficult negotiations? Something's at variance here. In the one, you've chosen to step into your power. And the other, you're very firmly in victim mode. What's going on? How about translating those skills and putting them into your personal life?
Yeah.
Now, she'd never recognised that pattern in herself.
Right.
And that's often the value, isn't it, of working with someone like me, is that we can see the patterns, which you're so busy being part of them that you don't see the wood for the trees.
Yeah.
As soon as she became aware, and awareness is the first stage of power, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you're unaware, unconscious, you can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
Once she was aware, she was able to very quickly translate a lot of the things that she did when she was in powerful mode into those places where she was a victim. And her life changed for the better significantly and pretty quickly because she already had those skills.
You know, I sort of recognise that because I was similar, and I do know that part of my, part of everybody, I suspect, is that we do wish to be taken care of, don't we?
Yes, we do.
And often when we walk into the home environment, this is where we want to be nurtured.
Yes.
And especially if you have a high-powered, high-stressful job, you're so busy managing everybody else and coping and doing this and that and the other, that when you come home, there is almost like a flip in your mind of, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to be the one looked after. And so there's this sort of, you step into child mode.
But it's interesting that how many, again, and I would say more women than men that I've come across, who are on their own, or who have been through a series of terrible relationships, want to be with a partner because they'll take care of me.
Yes.
Even if that so-called care is almost verging on abuse.
Yes.
And I think, you know, for those people who, you know, feel the need to have somebody else to make them feel complete, whether you're men or a woman, you need to take a really good look at your life and the quality of your life. And I would suggest you choose to step into your power. Now, of course, there are times when you want somebody who's got the muscle to be able to do something that if physically you can't.
Yes.
Of course, it's lovely when somebody arranges a surprise and says, I booked tickets to go to the theatre, or don't you do that, I'll do that.
Yes.
And that's great, so long as it doesn't come at the cost of you handing over your power and being a victim.
Khalil Gibran in The Prophet talks about marriage in the sense of two trees, doesn't he? He talks about the oak and the cedar, significance of the male and the female, I think. And the poem is essentially saying that they have their own root systems, they have their own canopies, they have, you know, their own structure, but they stand in companionship with one another. And that is a very powerful message, and I think when most people read that and hear it for the first time, there is an innate understanding of how right that is.
I agree.
And that is what relationships are. You shouldn't be a cedar tree leaning on an oak and asking the oak to put its roots down for you.
Yes.
You know, you have to recognise that you are a tree, a person. You have to develop your own roots, your own ability to sustain yourself. And that can be done in companionship with other people. That's what healthy relationships are. And you know what? It's tough. It is tough.
At times,
when you do just want to be sort of, you know, take responsibility off me. I don't want to be responsible for myself anymore. But the reality is you can, yes, go and hide from that occasionally. And that's part of the balance too. But ultimately, if you keep hiding from it, then other stuff's going to come and bite you. And this is where, you know, accepting that you have personal power, and that is a great thing because it allows you to do and achieve and whatever, but it also is great responsibility to yourself too.
I think so.
You have to work at it, that life, so second law of thermodynamics and the blip that is the law of evolution proves that if you are to prevent yourself from just heading towards anarchy, you have to push upwards against that force of the second law of thermodynamics. You have to put effort into your life.
I think that leads us nicely in this last few minutes to, you know, the power of us as individuals is great, but when you stand with other people who are in their genuine power, and that you have a cause that you believe is right, and one, for me, it has to be one based on integrity, compassion, and care of others, and the courage to do what's right, then you can move mountains. And you know that I have a mission to positively impact on 1 million people in the next 5 years through enlightened leadership, where leaders are absolutely in their personal power, where they can nurture and grow others to be in their power, so we can make a fundamental difference to the way in which things are done.
Yeah.
So that we can look after one another, that we can care for the environment, that we can make a difference. And for me, that's the basis of spirituality, that we are all connected, and everything we say or do or fail to say or do leaves a living legacy, one that is further reaching than we can ever believe. And so I would urge you all, if you're watching this, please share it, but also take on board that you are an amazing, unique, incredible human being. There is only one of you, and you have this life, so far as we know, it's the only one. You know, your belief may be that this is one of many, doesn't matter. This is a learning opportunity, an opportunity to grow. And if you are aware and open to stepping into your power in every context of your life, then that can be your reality.
Yeah.
And we're here to help you if we can. Lots of free resources on the website, genuinely-you, that's the word you.com. Also, we are available through Facebook, Genuinely You, LinkedIn, come and find us. You'll find lots in my books, and Rachel's got a couple of great spiritual novels, all available on Amazon. Rachel Davidson and Gina Gardner, go and have a look on Amazon and find our books there. We look forward to seeing you on the next show. Love to hear what you think. Please let us know by email, Gina at genuinely-you.com.